Okay, what do we do tonight? What's the purpose?
We have
fellowship
to the serving ones,
how to care for the next generation,
children and high school
next generation, question response. Maybe we can. Is that everybody?
Do you remember the verses in 1 Corinthians 3?
1 Corinthians 3.
He, Paul, laid the foundation we should build. You have gold, silver, precious stone, wood, brass, stubble. So when you build with wood, brass, stubble, you mar the church. And you, that means you destroy the church. So it's good to serve, but be careful how we serve, right? It says, take heed. Take heed means be careful.
Take heed, yeah, how we do.
How you serve. You serve, you build with good gold, silver, precious stone, and you build an eternal building. When you build with wood, grass, stubble, wood is humanity, the fallen humanity. Grass is the flesh. And stubble is the work of the flesh. So how do you serve? You serve with yourself, your natural ability, to the young ones. So you're building up a new generation of flesh. And for sure that destroys the body. So if you build with Christ, with the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, then you are building up the church. When you serve, serve actually equals minister. So if you minister Christ to the next generation, you're building up the church. When you minister yourself, then you're destroying the church. That's basic. Then another thing, it's basic, but most people didn't realize that. You may realize what I just shared earlier, but maybe you forget many times. But the second thing I share, you may not realize. Every group of serving ones should be a vital group. You think about vital group is for the God ordained way, preaching, begetting, nourishing, all that. No, vital group is a group of saints who are in the spirit, built together to become the new Jerusalem. That's what a vital group is. Okay? It's a group of normal Christ-living saints getting built for to become the new Jerusalem. So if you serve not as a vital group, then what are you? Who are you? Dead group. Can you imagine a dead group of saints serving the children to produce a dead group of children? Or religious group of children? Or wild group of children and young people? How do you serve the young people? If you are not a vital person yourself, that is the gold, silver, precious stone, and if you are not built up, then how do you do it? What we are produce the same people, right? You are an Indian. You two are Indian. Your children are Indian. Even though you were born in Indonesia or now Malaysia and moved to New Zealand, you still will produce Indians. You cannot change. Who you are will produce what you are. We are the wood, grass, stubble, then we produce wood, grass, stubble. people. Then the next generation will be worse. There's a saying in Chinese, 一代不如一代. So one generation is worse than the last generation. But what's the definition of a recovery? One generation is better than the last generation. That's recovery.
Wow.
Right? You have an operation, you go to the recovery room, your vital statistics is better today than yesterday. You're going to get out of the hospital. If your vital statistic is worse today than yesterday, you are going to die, or you have to go back to a surgery. Somebody left some cotton swab inside your abdomen. You have an infection, right? So recovery, the definition of recovery is, it's better today than yesterday. It's going to be better tomorrow than today. That's recovery. Otherwise, it's a called degradation. So today is worse than yesterday, then we're degrading. So you cannot think one generation is worse than the next, the last generation. It has to be next generation is better than this generation. But what happened? Why many times it goes reverse? Because we serve number one with wood grass double, number two without a building up in life. That's a vital group. Okay, that's two things I like to say first. Two principles you have to remember. When you serve, you have to serve people with God, Christ, and the Spirit. And you must be in a vital group. Your serving group is a vital group. That means what? Look at Ezekiel 1. That's a vital group. Four living creatures. Number one, they're living. Number two, they're joined. Living and joined, then you are okay. One more principle. Many who serve, who are in districts, they forgot. They forgot. They learned it all, but they forgot. What did they forget? You are in one church. We have 17 districts in the church in Mexico City, but we are one church. We are not 17 churches.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw some people, you know, they put comments on hymnal.net. You saw it, see those?
Yeah.
Hymnal.net.
Yeah.
They signed the name and then the locality. What was this locality that this sister Gabi said?
Del Valle.
Locality Del Valle.
What?
Del Valle is the name of a district.
Okay.
But she wrote down locality Del Valle. That's his district. Have you educated her? Yeah.
Now
you have. Before she wrote, we didn't know that she got confused. Now most of us, many of us get confused. Even actually, his office, the people write down Paul Hahn, Guadalupe Inn.
Yes.
Guadalupe Inn is a district of Mexico City. It should be Hahn, Mexico City.
Oh.
But they wrote his office people. So I have to tell them, hey, wait a minute, what's this? Then he has to adjust them. So a lot of saints get confused. Del Valle is not a church. Guadalupe is not a church. All are under one leadership called the eldership of the church in Mexico City. Okay, so now you are serving in groups. Who are you serving under? What do you serve, sister?
Smallest
children.
Children.
Okay. So the service group serving the children belong to the church in Brisbane, and the serving group belongs to the church in Brisbane. Is that clear to us? And the district belongs to the
church.
Nobody is above the church. The highest authority in Brisbane is the eldership. So you don't do anything apart from the eldership. Now, certainly, you cannot say, oh, I'm not going to bathroom. Can I go to bathroom? You don't need that type of thing. But you want to make a change. You want to do something. You want to have an activity. Then you have to fellowship. When you fellowship, you're under the headship. Now, actually, the elders are not really the head. They're the deputy authority.
Amen.
The real head is Christ. So the elders cannot say, okay, you do this, you do that. That is not right. They have to pray. Ask the Lord. So you have some feeling to do something, you fellowship. In fellowship under the headship. And then the head, the brothers will go to the head, the real head, and find out. Now, sometimes they make a mistake. Don't complain about it. The Lord will deal with them when they make a mistake. Or the Lord will enlighten them to change. So Brother Lee said one time, when the elders make a decision, it's a tentative decision. Tentative. They may change tomorrow, but it's okay. It's just elders have to learn how to be elders, and the serving ones have to learn how to be serving ones. And all saints have to learn how to be saints. Okay, so those are the three principles. Number one, we must be becoming God to serve as God, right? Shepherding according to God. Shepherd according to God means you are becoming God to shepherd according to God. Number two, you must be built up into vital groups. Number three, you must be under the headship. So there will be only one leadership in the church. Okay, open for fellowship. Question and respond first, and then we can talk further.
Related to the vital groups.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of us are pulled in so many directions with church service. There's some serving children, high schoolers, and maybe even involved in campus. And then they have a home meeting. And then, so how do you practically build up a vital group for those who you serve with when maybe you're serving in like three different areas?
Okay. Number one, easy way out is serving only one. That's the easy way out. Then you don't have to have that question. Then the question, follow-up question is, well, we don't have enough serving ones.
Yeah.
Is that true or not? Absolutely true or not? We don't have enough serving one. Is that sentence absolutely true or not? For eternally true or not?
No.
No. Okay. Let's say you have 50 children. Oh, we have only three serving ones. So we don't have enough serving ones for 50. But where do the children come from? They came from the wall, out of the wall. They came from two saints. Where are those two saints? What are they doing? So if those two saints for these two children, those two saints for those three children, they all come together. You may, for 50 children, you may have 30 serving ones. So it's not a forever true statement. We don't have enough serving ones. We only have three. Have you heard about the story, the parable in Matthew 20? There's a vineyard. The vine dresser went out to hire people at 6 a.m. And he hired some. At 9 a.m. he went out, he hired some more. At 12 noon he went out, he hired some more. At 3 he went hired some more. Then before closing, he went out. Then he saw people around. So he asked them, why are you idling all day? What's the answer? Nobody hired us. So you have three, but you have 27 idling all day. So you three go and hire the 27. To hire them, how do you hire them? Number one, you have to fellowship with them. Pray for them first, and then fellowship with them. And then if with the 27, maybe only 5 get convinced by the Lord through your fellowship, they want to serve. So now you have 8. But the 5 don't know how to serve. They serve with the wood, grass, and stubble. So you have to perfect them with the gold, silver, precious stone. They serve independently. So you have to perfect them to build up the vital group. All 8 of you build up as a vital group. And then they also want to do things independently from the leadership of the church. So you have to shepherd them about the submission and the authority and all that stuff. Okay, so now they are good serving ones. But then you have 22 idling all day. So you have to hire them. Many times we say, oh, they don't want to serve. Yeah, they don't want to serve today. But that's not an absolute statement. Eventually, when eternity comes, everyone will be serving. There will be no idling. You cannot say, why have you been idling for eternity? No such thing. All idle people will not be idle at the end of the 1,000 years of outer darkness. Nobody will be idle after that. Only the devil and Antichrist and tares, unbelievers who are evil, the army of the Antichrist, they can idle all eternity in the lake of fire. But all chosen, redeemed, regenerated people will not be idling all day. So whoever is idling right now in the church is only temporal. If you can hire them fast enough, they don't go to the lake outer darkness. If you don't hire them fast enough, they all go to the outer darkness. Then whose fault is it? Well, don't know. But anyway, whoever is serving should hire those who are not serving. Whoever is not serving should be hired to be serving. But many of them get distracted by things. So we have to hire. Actually, talk about leadership, eldership. All the problem in the church is the elders' fault. You agree? You agree? Your brothers agree? Yeah, you're the oldest. If she does not serve well, she serves in the flesh, it's your problem. So you are supposed to perfect them. Don't just say, you are serving in the flesh, terrible. You are idling all day, terrible. No, it's your problem that you didn't bring them forward. You didn't train them well. Okay, so we are all one big family. Hallelujah. Nobody should blame anybody. We all just should labor. Okay, so back to your question, original question. So one simple way is everyone serve in one service. That's simple. But if you are broad-hearted, you want to serve all three groups, it's okay. No, the Bible never say you cannot serve three groups. But just the question you have asked can raise up this problem. Okay, so you have a heart, you have the time. If you don't have the time, but you have the heart, then you got to reduce your heart. You cannot serve because you have no time. So if you have the heart to serve three groups and you have the time to serve three groups, then you will have the time to have three vital groups. So we are serving children and we are serving young people. We are serving university students. We are serving young working saints, four groups. I have a big heart. So I have to pray with them to be a vital group. I have to pray with them to be a vital group. I have to work with them as a vital group. I have to work with them. But if I don't have the time to be a vital group with them, then I'm not qualified to serve. I only time for one group. Then I have only time for one service. So that's easy. Then you say, oh, if I just serve one, there's not enough to serve the others. Well, it's their problem. The elders' problem. Well, yeah, it's not your problem. You're not elders. You're only a saint wanting to serve the Lord. So you just serve your according to your capability and ability, availability. Brother Andrew always say, for service is A, B, C.
A,
B. A is available. B is burden. C is capable.
Mm.
So three things. If you miss one, you cannot serve. You want to serve in a piano, but you don't know how to play piano. So for sure, you cannot serve in piano. Okay. More interesting questions? These questions are very interesting. We can unravel it and then becomes nothing. No problem. Actually, Brother Lee said the elders should participate in all these services. Should be a burden for the children. I mean, elders should be a burden for all.
I agree.
Children, young people, university, young working saints, full-time training,
amen.
Full-time workers,
amen.
Middle age, young middle age, old middle age, retired saints, dying saints, everyone. They're responsible for everyone. And you only responsible for one thing. So don't be an elder. But if you have to be, you know, nothing you can do. Yeah, elders are too busy.
The hardest job.
Hardest job. Hardest job in the universe. It's easier to be a boss. If you don't like the guy, you just fire him. In the church, you cannot fire anybody. You have to shepherd everyone. So don't be an elder. Unless the Lord forced you to be an elder. Okay. I'll submit. Okay, what else? Let's have more interesting fellowship.
So what does it mean to be a vital group? It means like what you say in the training in that way?
Well, vital group basically is simple. You are a normal living Christian. You get together with a few people for a purpose. In this case, the purpose is to take care of the children, the young people. In the BPT, the purpose is for increase, for preaching the gospel to increase. But you are increasing in certain way. Brother Lee said that 50% of our increase should come from our own children. So that's good. So you are working on, when you're working on this, you're working on 50% of the increase. But when you are in a vital group, according to the God ordained way, is about reaching out to people to gain people. But in any way, vital group means normal Christians grouping together to be built together to do a service. It's pretty good.
I have a question. I'm serving 10 years old children. You said how to give them gold, silver, precious stone. How do you serve them if they don't want to be, if they don't want to listen, and two, if they heard everything already? And they're interested in the worldly pleasures.
Okay, 4 to 10. They are not saved.
No.
So you and not giving them gold, silver, precious stone. You are gold, silver, precious stone, and you are Jesus Christ. Let all the children come to you, and then you love them, and you take care of them, like the Lord Jesus. You cannot minister Christ to them because they are not saved, but you can be an example of a God-man to them. Okay. Now, when they're not interested in listening to you, you are bad. Because the children came to Jesus. They were coming over to Jesus, and then the bad disciples shoo them away. Go, go, go away, go away. Don't bother us. Then the Lord said, let them come. So what is that? That means the Lord is an attractive man. He was attractive. Even little children would like to come hang around him, want to talk to him. And the religious disciples don't want them. So if your children run away from you, maybe you are the religious disciples. If the Lord, the children come to you, maybe you are living Christ. So this is a problem you have to look to the Lord for. I cannot teach you what to do in this short time. You have to look to the Lord why the children don't come to you. I used to go to a university. I have 30 appointments every week. 30. Six appointments a day, 5 days a week, 30. So 30 students would come to my office, which is a bookstore. Then we fellowship, we pray. If it's lunchtime, we eat lunch. If I get tired, we walk around the campus. So that's what we did. But many, many full-timers, the student canceled their appointments. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Now, this is not for the children. The children cannot cancel appointments because parents brought them over here. So yeah. they are stuck with you. Okay. So why did the students cancel the appointment with the full-timers? The full-timers have to pray. The full-timers may say, well, he is too busy, he has to study. Those are all lies. No, he doesn't like you. He doesn't want to see you. That's the truth. But they will never say that. He will never say, I don't like you, so I don't come. They give excuses. Yeah. Okay, whatever excuse they use is all a lie. Okay, so then you have to look to the Lord. Why the children don't like you? Why the children don't listen to you? So this becomes a problem. Now, some of us may use gimmicks to attract them, whatever gimmick may be. Brother Lee said the only gimmick we can use is food, like now. So let's have dinner together, and then we can fellowship. So food is a common denominator everyone needs, so it's okay. But nothing else. But many times we use many other things to attract the attention of the children. So we have to be careful. So we have to be ourselves, gold, silver, precious stone. Then we can be Christ, who is attractive, loving, kind, tolerant, temperate, all those good words describing Christ, describing the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, right? All these, then the children would, if you are nicer than their parents, the children for sure will come to you.
I see that I heard some church elders that were really serving the church and really advancing their spiritual growth. But their children are not in the church life.
Children?
Oh, they're, you know, older children.
Yeah.
You know, they've been influenced by their families' government living.
Families what?
The government living.
Children have seen the family's godmen living.
Yeah.
But,
and,
yeah.
But they are still
but
not
then,
being
themselves.
In life.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
still get attracted by the world. I heard Brother Lee, one of his sons, is not in the church life.
More than one.
More than one, yeah. So, you know, we're not better than Brother Lee. How am I going to ensure our children are in the church life?
Okay, that's a very good question. And many saints use this logic either to depreciate himself or to criticize Brother Lee or other elders. But you have to be clear. Everyone has a choice. You choose to be here. I choose to be here. My children have their own choice. Your children have their own choice. Everyone's children have their own choice. When they are young, they have no choice. We bring them wherever we go. But once they get old, they have the choice. Even God, do you think that he is the best father of all? God. Huh? Yeah?
Yes, yes, yes.
Best father.
Amen.
His son, called Adam, he ran away from God. Not only distracted by the world, created the world. his son, and even became a murderer. Okay, so what does that mean? That means God is so great, he allows his children to have choices.
Yeah.
We have to have the same view. So, Brother Lee said, he could be a good father and help his children a lot, but he has to serve the churches, travel. So many times he was not home to train his children. So some of his children are not so good, and some of them are mediocre, and some are good, proper. So that's the way. Sometimes the parents are very good, but the children are very bad. And sometimes the parents are very bad. The children are very good.
Yes, true.
And sometimes they are mediocre, and one is very good, and one is very bad.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened is everyone has their own choice.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment will come later. Everyone will be judged according to God's word. So this is a thing that Brother Lee talked about, is that we need to do our best. But how they turn out is up to the Lord. So we cannot talk about it. In the New Testament, not one apostle's children was mentioned. The whole New Testament.
True.
Not one. Can you remember one son of John or son of Peter or son of Paul? Paul has not married, so son of others. Not one was mentioned. About among the apostles. Some other daughters, like Agabus or somebody's four daughters, or Philip's four daughters were mentioned. But that Philip is not the apostle Philip, it's the kitchen serving Philip. So what does that mean? That means in the Bible he did not mention all these. So what happened? We don't even know what happened. But anyway, we just do our best while we are living, and how the children turn out will be up to the Lord and their own choices.
Mm.
But this is a good question. Many people have problem. It gets bothered.
Yeah.
Many parents say, "Oh, if my children are like that, how can I preach the gospel?" That is nonsense. Why do we preach the gospel? Because the Lord told us to preach the gospel. It has nothing to do with your children is good or bad. And we choose this. We have to die for this. We have to give ourselves for this. You cannot force people to do that. You cannot go to the neighborhood. Okay, you got to give yourself to the church, to the Lord, to the church. You cannot do that. Neither can we tell our children. We should do our best to educate them, shepherd them, and do pray for them and all that. And eventually some turn out to be very much for the Lord and some turn out not to be. Okay, any other? We have another 10 minutes of question and response. Yeah.
Currently the 4 to 5 year olds don't have a lesson, so we have those lesson plans and we go through a topic or theme and memory verses. So I think from about 6 year old we start to have lessons. So I guess the two questions is that I guess at what age do they start to have that mental capacity to receive something from the Bible, and how do we know whether we are like giving premature knowledge? Like I still sometimes struggle to know what, how to meet the need of a 5 year old. Is it just to have fun? They appreciate the love from the saints and they sing some songs and that's it? Like that's the main thing we're trying to achieve. Or do we need to impart something of God into them? Then I guess as the age grows older, it's hard to know what age to receive how much spiritual knowledge. I find that hard. Usually we lean towards the application, just a simple concept and how does that apply to the daily living. Usually I find that I don't share too much truth. I try to avoid like too much knowledge at a young age, but then I also feel sometimes is that not enough to teach the young children a bit more by the time they're 8 or 9 year old.
Have you read Deuteronomy 6?
Yes, but I don't remember.
Moses said, write the word of God and put it on your doorpost. And you need to talk to your children about the Lord when they go down, that's going to sleep, when they get up, that's in the morning, when they sit down for breakfast, when they go on the way, go to school, and come home, and then sit down for dinner 6 times. Huh?
Any age.
Any age. So, what does that mean? That means you should have 42 children's meeting with your children every week. Now, none of us do that. We all disobey the Moses charge. We all disobey. I don't know if how many parents have children's meeting with their children once a day. Not many.
Once a week.
Once a week, maybe some. This is our problem. We think of children's meeting, Lord's Day morning, in that room. No, no, no. That's the last one. The first one is when they go to bed, Lord's Day night. Then when they get up Monday morning, so on and so forth. Okay, that's number one. And then post. I have seen only one set of parents put the word of God on the wall. Have you seen that?
Chihuahua.
Yeah, Chihuahua. Have you seen that? Man, I thought, man, they are so desperate to follow the word of God. They just wrote it on the wall. Wrote on the wall.
Amen. That's good.
That's amazing. Now my wife is smarter. She put it on a frameable frame. So it's nice looking. The other one just wrote on the wall. Not even perfect writing, handwriting. Okay, that's good, fine, no problem. All they have to do is paint it when they want to sell. There's no big deal, but it's good. Okay, now, about premature knowledge, what does that mean? Some saints teach the children to call on the Lord. That is premature knowledge. Don't teach your children to call on the Lord. If they call on the Lord because you call on the Lord, it's up to them. But don't ask them to call. Brother Lee definitely said that. What's premature knowledge? It's something that they have no experience, yet they learn. It's premature knowledge. They are not saved. 5 years old, not saved. How can you ask him to call on the Lord? Call on the Lord is rich to all who call upon him. So how can the Lord be rich to a 5 year old? Cannot be. But many saints do that. Many children's meetings do that around the world in the Lord's recovery. They don't hear so well. They need hearing aids. I always say people need hearing aids. They need to hear what the ministry talk about. Okay. So, some people, some elders, when Brother Lee said, let's have summer school of the truth. And the first lesson is God's full salvation. Second lesson is the trying God with the Christ person and work. Second book, second year. Then many elders in U.S. at that time did not agree. That's premature knowledge. Is that premature knowledge? No, because they're already saved. They need to be taught what is the truth, the basic truth, because they can experience the Lord based on the truth that they learn. Okay, so if you are talking about four or 5 years old, all that. Okay, so you cannot talk about spiritual things. Then what can you talk about? Two things. Objective biblical knowledge and character. These two things you can do. Objective, like how many books in the Bible? What are they? How many chapters in each book? What is this verse? What is that verse? What's the first verse? What's the last verse? Where did Jesus go? Where did Paul go? These are objective knowledge. These can help them later. They don't have to study them because they already know. When you bring in the truth for experience, they know already. Amen. They don't have to remember, hey, where's Luke? Where's Luke? Cannot find Luke. You have to let them know, where's Luke? Where's Philemon? Where's Joel? So they can find all the books. So when we were young, they have this sword drill. You know, to look for the chapter and verses. And all that. Whoever finds it and stand up and read it. Okay, so those are the physical, practical, objective things you can help. So it's not, okay. Now, then, lessons. The lessons in junior high and up are truth lessons. Okay. The lessons before they get saved cannot be truth lessons. Can be lessons on the Bible, Bible stories, character. Okay. Now, character, you have to be careful. Don't make and turn the children's meeting into a full-time training. Some people do that.
Oh, yes, I see.
Brother Lee used a 30 character points for full-time training, and some use that into the children lessons.
Yep.
Now, character. For example, some saints make up lessons, make up stories about how to care for people, love people, and all that. But in the Bible, you have many stories about Jesus, how he cared for people and loved people.
Right.
Why do you need to make a story that is not real? Why don't you just tell a story that is real? For example, in Luke, the Lord was coming to a city called Nain or Nain. I don't know how to spell, pronounce it. N-A-I-N. Then there's a funeral. Widow has only one son, and the son died. So the widow is a hopeless case. No husband, no son. No. What is she going to do for the rest of her life? So it says, his compassion was moved within him when Jesus saw that. Then he stopped the funeral and raised up the son, gave back to the mother. What a loving creator. What a loving savior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good story. You don't need to look for lesson book. You don't need to go to Christianity to buy a storybook. Just read the Bible. Where did I get that from? In the Jonah life study training. Brother Lee talked about Jonah. And then he said, actually, the Bible is a good children's material. Then he asked a brother who was with him at that time. He said, brother, how many boxes of children's meeting have you collected? He said, 10 boxes. He said, you don't need them. All you need is a Bible. Just to read the Bible as a story, but with interest. You know, earlier you mentioned they are not interested. How about read the Bible as a story with much interest? So that test, you know, he always asked people to come and give tests. So that test was testing the saints how to present Jonah as a children's story.
Whoa.
Who saw that video? You saw that? You saw that?
No.
Yeah.
No. Do we have it?
Yeah, yeah. She just saw it and a few weeks ago and then told me about that.
It's in webcast.
Life study, webcast. What message?
What message was that? Do you remember? Okay, look it up and then, yeah, tell them. It's Jonah's life study.
Yeah, no.
The video.
Well, there's only one life study message. Only one. No, for Jonah, it's only one. Oh, no, maybe one or two or something. Okay. So the point is, he tested them and nobody passed the test. Everyone is teaching like a teacher. Rather than a student story, a children's story. Okay.
Maybe Jacobson.
He did a good job?
Yes.
Was it, did Brother Lee say it was good?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Okay, Jay Jacobson is good. Okay. So everybody else failed. Okay. So then you watch Jake Jacobson and see how. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he.
He was very excited. Okay. So anyway, maybe you elders have to train the saints how to tell a story using the Bible in an interesting way. According to the age group. You know, same story to one group is different than another group because of the perception. Okay. So you don't need to have fine lessons. You have the whole Bible as a lesson book. As a story book, lesson book. Now you have more stories like in Genesis. The stories and some in Exodus, some in Leviticus and Numbers and not, okay. So on and so forth. So certain books gives you more stories. For sure, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, lots of story. Acts, quite a few stories. So first five books give you a lot of stories. Okay, so if you finish, look through the whole Bible and find all the stories and start telling, maybe by the time you finish with the last one, your children will be 12 years old. And then they will know about all the main things of the Bible, plus the books of the Bible. How about chapters? Have you memorized the number of chapters per book?
No.
One time Brother Lee called me and said, I have something, something. And then he was talking about Jude and said, which chapter? Then he laughed at me. What do you mean, look, which chapter? There's only one chapter. So I forgot. I was not so clear.
Me too.
So yeah. We need to remember, to help them to remember. Now then Brother Lee said, give people incentive.
Yeah.
What's incentive? Some reward. So he told us he gave his grandchildren some money for reading the Bible. After they finished reading certain amount and gave them certain amount. I don't know. I forgot. But I remember that. So it's quite interesting. Amen. Okay. Now we have 1 hour. I asked you to bring the book.
Yeah.
What are the first few chapters of the book? Oh, yeah, don't look. What are the first few chapters about? Huh?
God's economy.
God's economy. You got it? So when I said you gotta have become gold, silver, precious stone, that is God's economy. And even the, where's the book? The Itero we just had.
Yeah, God's economy.
What was the title, subject, general subject? Here. Living and serving according to God's economy concerning the church. Okay, now your children's service, young people's service is all concerning the church. Mm-hmm. So you must be living and serving according to God's economy. So the first few chapters is about God's economy. What are the next few chapters? You may have different replies, but anyway, let's try. What are the next few chapters? You remember? Don't look, okay? Don't look. It's about parents. Okay. So, and then the next section, the major section is about serving children. Another major section, serving young people. All right. Okay. Now, parents. Okay. God's economy is number one. Parents is number two. So elders, before you let these people serve the children, they should serve the parents first. Okay, number one, they should serve the Lord first, become living Christ, right? Then they can serve the parents. Many times the parents just drop off the children and then go to meeting and expect the children to become God-men in a few years. That doesn't happen. The major responsibility of children's work is with the parents, not with you. Li Ping found a portion a few days ago about campus service, campus work.
Yeah.
Who should do the campus work? Who should do the campus work? The students themselves, not the full-timers going to the campus, but the students who take the classes in school, they should do the campus work. Did you know that?
Not before. But
not before, and now?
Yes.
Okay, are you a student?
Not currently. I'm doing a gap year now.
Doing what?
Gap year.
What's that?
a year of study.
A year of.
Ah, okay. But then you'll go back.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. No, now you know. No, when you go back, that is your campus work. Campus work. Whichever campus you go to, that is your campus. Okay. Then what do the full-timers do? So if that's they're going to do the work, then we can fire all the full-timers. No. Brother Lee asks us to have full-timers to serve. Then what do they do?
Perfecting.
Huh?
Perfecting.
Perfect these brothers. Shepherd them, perfect them, pray with them, help them to form vital groups. They go to the campus, they preach the gospel to their friends, to the other friends. Eventually, they bear fruit. They bring them into the church life, they shepherd them, all that. But he doesn't know how to do that. So you, campus, serving ones, perfect them. Yeah. Not only him, but all. How about high schoolers? Who should preach to the high schoolers in the schools?
The high school
students. Your daughter. Okay, because remember, in this book, it has a term called gospel seed. What is that? What's a gospel seed? What's a gospel seed?
The children and the...
The children becoming the seed for the gospel. How old are you? Yeah.
Six.
I thought she looked like a high schooler. Okay, that's good. When you're young, it's just a little bit humiliating. But when you get older, it's a big asset. Okay, so gospel seed. When they are children, they are gospel seed in one style. When they are in junior high and high school, they become gospel speed another style. When they got into university, they become the third type of gospel seed. Okay. So when you serve, you cannot just serve on the Lord's Day here. You have to visit the parents. Shepherd the parents. Read that those few chapters concerning the parents' responsibility and also concerning God's economy. Read with them. Fellowship with them until they get clear. Because they are the responsible brothers and sisters. Not you. You can help them. But the parents are the key people. Okay. Now, what can they do, parents? I told you already, 42 children's meeting a week at home. What else can they do? Neighborhood children's meeting. Who has a neighborhood children's meeting right now? Can you raise your hand? Nobody. One. You have a neighborhood children's meeting? Neighborhood. Not Saints children's meeting. Neighborhood. Well, Saints getting together is good. Have a children's meeting is good. But neighborhood children's meeting means that you invite the neighborhood children who are not Saints children to come to your home to sing, to listen to the Bible, and maybe have some milk and cookies and then go home happy, go home changed. Okay, that. When was this book published? 15 years ago? 12 years ago? When?
11.
Huh?
11.
Yeah. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. 12 years. You still don't have neighborhood children's meeting. What have you been doing? Okay, first children's meeting is by the parents. Second children's meeting is the neighborhood children's meeting. The third children's meeting is, let's say, over here. I don't know if you got that from the book. Did you get that from the book? Not so sure.
No.
Did you get it? You got it. Sterling was with us and he told us that. He said maybe like 50-60% should be the home. 20-30% should be the neighborhood. And then 10% is the Lord's Day morning. Right? He said that, right? Mm-hmm. So he read that book and then he told us. Sterling is another co-worker that was with us in Mexico for a while. He was very burdened for the children's meeting. He actually has a website that has children's stories. So he asked some saints to help to write stories, and it's there. We can give you the website later.
Is it English?
Yes.
In English and Spanish, both.
Please keep this.
Yeah, what is it?
Children's Pantry, it's called.
Huh?
Children's Pantry.
Children's what?
Pantry.
Pantry. Like a kitchen pantry. Children's or children? Without, with S or without S?
Let me check.
Okay, we'll find out. Okay. But don't rely on that. You can use that. But rely on yourself reading the Bible. And then sometimes you may need to read the life study to help you have more understanding and insight and how to present the story. Okay. Now, so back to this. As I said, at different age group, they can be gospel seed in different ways. So when they're children, what is their way of gospel seed? What's the way of gospel seed?
Your parents.
No?
Friends.
Invite the friends to your neighborhood children's meeting.
Mm.
Now, they cannot preach the gospel because they're not saved. And the children are too young to receive the gospel. So what is the gospel seed? Is to invite the neighborhood friends, classmates, cousins to your home to have a children's meeting. We never did that, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. What should we do? We read books, we don't practice, right? Is that right? I don't know if you even pick up the term, neighborhood children's meeting. Have you picked up the term?
Yeah.
No? Did you read the book? Oh, you read it. You read it in Chinese. But so in Chinese, what is the term? Huh? Shechi Erdong Chihui.
Erdong Pai.
Shechi Erdong Pai. So, neighborhood children's meeting. Pai. Sometimes Pai gives you the thought as a church kid.
Yeah.
Is that no?
Taiwan's called Shechi Erdong Pai.
Well, forget about what Taiwan called, but I'm saying the Erdong Pai kind of gives you the thought that it is the saints' children rather than the neighbor's children who are not safe. So anyway, you change your concept. When you say, Shechi Erdong Pai, remember it is neighborhood children's meeting, including children not from the church. That is the key. Children's not from the church. Erdong Pai, many times is understanding is children from the church. Because it's a Xiao Pai. Xiao Pai is a small group. Who is in a small group? The saints in the church. Many small group does not have new people. We should have new people, but we usually don't. So we always have just the saints, same old people. Is that right? You have some new ones.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. That's good. Always have new ones. Don't just have saints. Okay. So gospel seed at the children age is to invite their friends, relatives, cousins, classmates, neighborhood playmates to the home to have a neighborhood children meeting. But the problem is none of you have a neighborhood children meeting. So your children cannot be a gospel seed? How can he be a gospel seed? Or they? Okay, so you have to. Elders. Are you an elder here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Elders.
Pray for us.
Work on this. Help the saints. Okay. Then when they go to high school, junior high school, they can preach the gospel. Now, there's a young sister, 13-year-old, in Adelaide. Saturday night, we were having a meeting. I forgot what time meeting was it.
The presentation of the truth?
No, Saturday night. It was a joint English-speaking group meeting. Okay. In that meeting, I slightly mentioned toward the end about preaching the gospel to the friends. Just one sentence or two sentences. Then she came up to me after the meeting with her mother. I guess she was afraid to just talk to me. So she came with her mother and asked me, how do I preach the gospel to my friends? Wow. That's the beginning of the gospel seed.
Amen.
So I told her, I said, wow, it's not easy for me to tell you in a few minutes. Why don't you take the biennial training? Because we talk about that.
We can do that.
Then the next morning, before I went to the meeting, I was thinking, wow, that's not good. Maybe she does not take it or she missed it, something in one meeting. She didn't hear it. So I talked to her by myself before the meeting. And so that's good. 13-year-old. In my district, there's a 15-year-old sister. He also wanted to preach the gospel, but she always get rejected. So she didn't know what to do. So we talk about how to preach the gospel. Now, these are the gospel seeds, actual gospel seeds. They can actually preach the gospel. When I was 15 or 16, I preached the gospel to my friend. And my friend did not receive. So I didn't know what to do. So I didn't preach the gospel for a long time. Until I came to the Galatians Life Studies. Then the brother, I got open up about Galatians 3. It's a hearing of faith. I speak more and speak more, then you'll get the faith to believe. But I didn't get the help. I was 16 at that time. Nobody helped me. So I lost my gospel seed years. So don't let your children lose those years. Now, earlier, our brother said, well, what if the children don't listen to us? Well, if they want to preach the gospel, they will listen really carefully. That sister at 13 in Adelaide, she was listening carefully because she wants to learn something. But if we just keep talking about the same thing, oh, I heard that before, and they're not interested, they get bored. So we have to talk about something that is meeting their need. Okay. Then university is another level of gospel seed.
You.
When I was in university, again, nobody shepherded me. I didn't know how to preach, but I shepherded new ones coming in. There was one new one. I went to his house at 6:30, woke him up, cooked him breakfast as he is getting dressed, and we pray red while we're having breakfast. Then 7:05, I took him to the campus prayer meeting at 7:15. We prayed till 7:45. Then we went to classes and study. Then at noon, we have a noon meeting. I brought him there. We pray red, we fellowship. Then in the afternoon, after class, we will study together.
Sorry, is this when you were serving or you were a class?
No, when I was a
university student.
Oh, I was okay. A student. Was my work, my campus work. We have no full-timers. We have nobody. We just, we have nobody come to replace us.
I think you're the vital person.
We were just students. Then I brought him to the prayer meeting Tuesday night, and then we study in the afternoon after school. Then I have to go home to cook. So I get up at 5 to work until 6:30, 6 o'clock, and I get dressed and I pick him up, wake him up. And then at 5 o'clock, I have to cook for the family. So then we went to all the meetings, Tuesday night meeting, Saturday morning, cleaning hall service. Do you clean the hall?
Not for a long time.
Don't miss that opportunity. When you get too old, you cannot do it. You do it when you're young. Brother Lee's first service was cleaning a toilet. And my first service was also cleaning a toilet. So maybe you should lead an army of young brothers to clean all the toilets. And the sisters clean the sisters' toilet. Okay. So we went to Saturday, went to clean toilets, and then we study after that. And then Lord's Day evening have meeting. Okay, that's a gospel seed. Then he became an elder before me. That was good.
Wow, that's good.
And then he became a co-worker, international co-worker. So that's good. But now he's getting old. He just had a stroke and a broken shoulder. Okay, anyway. Gospel seed.
Amen.
So produce gospel seeds. Okay, what else? The principle number one is you become living. Number two, you form a vital group in your service. Number three, submit yourself under the authority of the church. Okay, then as far as the work is concerned, first, you have to shepherd the parents. First shepherding of the parents is to see God's economy. Those are the first few chapters of this book. Then you have to shepherd them to become patterns at home. And then shepherd them to become shepherds to their own children. Now, they may not have the time to do 42 children's meeting a week, but at least 6 is not bad. At least some, right? So anyway, the more the better. You know, whatever the Bible says, do it. Whatever it says, do it. But don't do it in yourself. Do it in the spirit, right? Exercising your spirit. Okay. Then after that, remember neighborhood children's meeting. Okay. And then remember, they should be gospel seeds in the junior high school years. And remember, the campus work, university campus work, should be done by the university students, not to be replaced by you. But you have to shepherd them. So some of them, some you have to shepherd the parents, then you have to take care of the children, you have to take care of the young people, and take care of the university students. But they have to do the work as gospel seed. Okay, I think that's about all I want to say, but I don't know if you want to say something.
Can I have a question?
Yeah.
I think about my daughter's case. Yeah.
How old is she?
Well, she's 23, but she isn't in the meeting anymore.
Hmm?
She isn't meeting with us anymore. Oh. Don't have a church life. Yeah, and then when she was in high school, she had some good friends. Yeah, and then she went to the high school meeting very regularly. And I encouraged her to invite her friends to come to the meeting. Yeah, then when my daughter was not with us in the meeting, I find out her best friend.
Sorry, sister, just speak louder.
Yeah. Don't just speak to us. Speak to them.
Okay. I try to speak louder. Okay.
Stand up.
My English is not so good.
No, it's not the English. It's the voice. It's the volume.
Yeah. I just thinking about concerning the gospel policy. Mm. Yeah, because I have a not good experience about this. Yeah, I encourage my daughter when she was in high school, invite her to invite her best friend to come to our meeting. Yeah, latest I find out actually this her best friend influenced her to the wrong direction. Mm. Yeah, she came several times. Yeah, but yeah. So I think she really be careful.
Sure, we have to be careful, but don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, wow, they may be misled, so let's not ask them to be the gospel seed. You have to be careful, you have to shepherd, because the whole thing, again, is vitality, normal Christian life. If your children are not normal, they like to watch TikToks and in a meeting and all that, then you ask them to be gospel seed. Gospel what? They're not even in the spirit. So you have to shepherd them, and it until they have the normal Christian life, just like you have to be normal, they have to be normal.
Right.
So, do you have another daughter?
Yes.
Younger one?
Yeah.
Actually, my daughter quite enjoy high school meeting.
That's good. So now you have.
I've seen the influence because she keep the friendship very long time. So I find the influence is gradually, and she feels.
Remember, don't talk to me. Talk to them. Oh, do you have a mic here? Loudspeaker? No. Okay. Whoever talks, don't talk to us. Talk to the last one, the furthest away.
Mm. Come closer.
Oh yeah, that's an idea.
I see at the back.
I mean, when we practice this, she'll be careful anything. How to observe all the situation. This is my meaning.
Yeah, that's right.
She quite enjoy the high school meeting. Yeah, she can sing the high school song on the way to meeting, on the way home.
Oh, wonderful.
She quite enjoy and teach me many songs.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when she study very tired, she will play guitar, sing the song.
Amen.
So
good.
We never think these things will be happen.
Mm.
Yeah, but when she is in uni, yeah, she talked to me how her friend tell her this, something affect her faith.
Mm.
So I think, yes, we have a heart for gospel, but as a parent, how to we accompany our children go through this?
Mm.
Yeah, because her best friend still her best friend until now.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, she has many best friends in the world.
Right.
Yeah, but only few best friends in the church.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. You have something to share?
Yes.
I want to share that something that we heard some years ago is concerning serving in a Bible group. Really, that's the way for us to serve. First, we need to be vital, right? Vital people, so and serve in Bible groups. To have fellowship, to have thorough prayer with our companions, and together carry out this burden to care for the next generation. And we have been hearing that we need to consider the next generation as a one piece, not separating different group of serving ones, like the ones for children, the ones for high schoolers, the ones for college, right?
Yeah.
So We need to have a heart for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Since children to college students. So in that way, if we have that vision, we can fellowship in the Bible groups.
Amen.
Of course, in the Bible group, we need to present the cases, right?
Yeah.
There we can make a list of all of our children by ages. And the different members of the Bible group may have burden, specific burden for one, maybe for children, another one for teenagers, right? But all the group hold the shepherding of those cases, right? Those who are our children. So this is a very important point that we need to have a change in our mind and just consider one piece. Actually, the brothers found out that Brother Lee said that.
Yeah,
children's work is just one piece, right?
Mm.
Mm. So.
Mm. Yeah, we use that term, one piece.
Mm. Children, high school, campus.
Campus, yeah.
One work, one piece.
Work. Actually, you can extend it to full-time training and young working saints.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. We call that the children's work should be from the crib to be pillars.
Mm. Mm.
From crib, that means when firstborn,
crib.
To become pillars in the Lord's church. When he becomes a pillar, then it's pretty safe, but not fully safe. But oh, by the way, Linnell, say hi to you.
Amen. Thank you.
Any reflection, response, question, anything, anyone, everyone? Elders?
Some sisters like to run the children's meeting like a school. So I think that the best children's serving ones will be all the teachers. Everybody should call the serving ones Mr. Bench, Mr. Chang. So Brother Lee said very clearly, I mean, there's a song, right? It is not a school or factory. The first line in that song is not a school. It's like, the children's meeting is not a school. However, there's another thought that, oh, if they don't want to listen, it's okay, just let them do it. If you let one child just talk while they're singing, eventually five children will be talking, then 10 children, then everyone will be talking, and no one will be singing. So there's a balance between having some order and having some. So yeah, I don't know if there's any comment on, we can't have a school, because otherwise they're just coming to another day of school on the Lord's Day, it's just like going to school. But at the same time, we have to have some kind of a order where it's not a Montessori school.
Okay, Brother Lee definitely said, not to have a Sunday school. So make sure the children's meeting is not a Sunday school. Okay. So what is a Sunday school? So it's you have a Monday school, Tuesday school, Wednesday school, Thursday school, Friday school. Then you have a Saturday Chinese school. Then you have a Sunday school. So that's a school. So make sure it's a children's meeting. Now, the problem, a lot of our problem is that we don't have our family children's meeting. Most of us don't have that. That should be the beginning. Then we should have a neighborhood children's meeting. That should be the second. Then when you come to the Lord's Day meeting, you don't put all the eggs in one basket. If you don't tell them something, they will never hear it anywhere. That is terrible. So Lord's Day morning should not be the only time they learn something about the Bible. Okay, looseness should not be allowed, but you cannot discipline them. So how do you do that? So you have to work, pray and work as a vital group and figure out how to do it. Ask the Lord how to serve. Is now, he is saying something. Why didn't you tell them to don't have a school? You elders. Huh? What?
Maybe we did tell them, but they still like to do
it. Okay, so this is the other problem. The principle I said earlier is, are you serving one serving under one leadership, or are you serving as your own head? You understand? So you cannot serve as your own head. You have to serve under one leadership. So he would bring this up right here. That should have been brought up with whoever is serving that way 3 years ago. Huh? 15 years ago, and should have been all changed by now. But it's still continuing. That means we are not serving under one headship. Wow, that's serious. So what are you doing? What are we doing? We're here to build up the church, not to build up a children's work. I went to Austin. Austin was selected by the co-workers to be the apprenticeship, right? So I went over there. I said, brothers, I heard that you are really good in campus work. I want to come and learn. They said, no, we don't have a campus work. We only have the church in Austin working on a campus. It's the church working on a campus, not a campus work. So you should not have a children's work. It's the church working on the children. It's the church working on the young people and the next generation. Because this book, the title is Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life. So you cannot have a separate work and raise up somebody. And what? Who are they? We don't recognize them. Who are they? You have to raise them up under the leadership of the church to produce people for the church. Wow, that would be the view of things.
When you mentioned about serving in a vital group, so practically speaking, does that mean...
I said serving as a vital group, not in a vital group. As a vital group means you five serving the children, you five should be a vital group serving the children. Okay, go ahead.
So does that mean when we say children's work, for example, so children's service, that on the roster, say, on that week, we have two or three saints serving on that day, they prior to the meeting, they come together, pray together for the upcoming service. And is that up to the standard of the group, or
no?
Is it more?
No. You said the roster. How many are serving the children? How many?
Wow. So we have three districts.
Huh?
We have three districts. So one district have three a week, and the other district is much bigger, so we have more.
No, not three a week. I mean total, serving the children. Mm-hmm. 20?
More than.
Huh? More than that. 30? Okay.
The children.
How many?
40.
Okay. So you have a organized children's service, not an organic children's service. So you have 40. Okay, we need five per week. So you separate that. Okay, this week you serve five, you five, and then five. That's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to think again how to build up vital groups among these 40 serving ones. Okay, let's say if five of them serve this week, and then the next time they will serve is a month later. They serve once a month. Is that about right? They serve once a month. Okay. So these five should be built up as a vital group. Okay. Not because they serve, but because they are not because they are scheduled to serve, but because they are closer to one another. So they build up as a vital group. Mm-hmm. Then the whole 40 needs to be built up as a vital group. You say, wow, that is too large. I know. But since you're 40, because he just said one piece. How do you have one piece? Okay, this week I serve my way. Next week he served his way, or my group served this way, his group served that way. We never talk to one another. Then all the children have then they have five different directions because they have five group of people serving them. So you have to be built up as a group, as a whole group. Then as a subgroup, the five that serves on that one Lord's Day is a subgroup. So let's say our campus team has 20 people on our Mexico City campus team, have 20. They cannot be all 20, be closely related to one another. So as one group, 20, they pray together some of the times, they study the word together some of the times, and then they have subgroups, let's say three or four as one subgroup, and then they build with one another. So that is a close-knit vital group, but the whole thing should be a vital group, because full-timers are not vital group, then they should not be full-timers. Working saints, we have to help them, shepherd them, perfect them, form vital group. Full timers automatically should be vital groups. By definition, full timers should be vital groups. Yeah, if they're not vital, then don't serve. So we ask them to pray and study 4 hours a day, so they gotta be vital, right?
Well, children's serving roster is different. You get different serving ones every month. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't have a fixed roster because you can't have a fixed group of people who serve on the same week because some of the serving ones have other duties in the.
Okay, you know. That's fine. I got it. You leading elders got to work it out. Whatever he's talking about. I don't know how to fix anything because I'm not here to fix anything. You elders are supposed to fix everything. You are responsible for everything. So we heard the principles, right? So you brothers work on it. Okay, so whatever you want to say, have an appointment with the elders and tell them.
I thought you said those who are vital can be built out with anyone.
What?
Anyone who is vital can be built up with anyone.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
If we are in different group at different roster, even though not the same group.
But still you need to pray together, yeah. Fellowship together as a vital group.
A similar situation also with the children, it's also with the high school and serving one, because we have different groups of five or four that will serve on once every 3 weeks or once every 2 weeks, so they're different.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going on about what Raymond is saying. You know, if we all are vital, then we can be.
But still, you need to meet together.
But we do.
Every fortnight.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Whatever you brothers arrange. Okay. Since he has a question about it, then you heard. You have to figure out how to. You solve the problem. When I was serving young people, it's the same group of people that serves the young people every day.
Yeah.
We didn't have a roster. The roster is all of us. So anyway, you brothers have to figure that out.
I think we have that for campus, but not for
children.
Campus, is hard.
We are good at rosters. We are very good at organization. We're good at arrangement, we're not so good at being vital. That's the problem. That's the problem. All these questions.
Okay. Yeah. So you elders.
Start. Everybody change anyway. No one sticks to the roster. Oh, can you do that? Roster's not that good anyway. But in our job, we're good at roster. Our job, we have organization. We do this every day at work in the week. We just bring that to the church life and think it's going to work. But if we're not vital, it's nothing. Just vitality is the key.
Yeah, vitality is the key. Anyway, we talk about it enough about this principle, and you elders and the serving ones work it out together to make it the best.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Training. So if you all become vital, then everything will be solved.
That's right.
Join the
all
training.
Problems. Yeah, join the training. Starting. Can they sneak in?
Yeah.
So. If you didn't sign up, the deadline was last Lord's Day. If you didn't sign up, you want to join the training, sneak in. Ask the brothers to let you sneak in.
Yeah, we'll open the door.
We'll
you tell us. We have 20 want to join. Okay, I'll call them.
Yeah, that's right.
It's on Zoom anyway.
Yeah, on Zoom anyway. So it doesn't matter how many of you join. The more, the better.
Mm.
You have to learn all these things.
Saturday. We only have 25 anyway. For whole Brisbane, so it's more. It's
25 is 1/8
yeah.
of
no,
the
we
church.
We have more than 25 tonight.
Oh yeah, that's good. I hope you all join, and then you can learn more.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 10 more minutes.
Yeah, high school.
If not, let's pray. If nobody wants to ask or say. You want to say something? No?
No, I just said I haven't read this book. I really
haven't
read this
book. You haven't read the book.
I think it's compulsory. All the 71 read this book.
This is, I got a question.
Yeah.
In that book.
Can you speak louder so they can all hear?
Yeah. In that book, Raising Up the Next Generation, in one part of the book, Brother Lee talks about the problems with the young, some problems amongst the young people.
Right.
And he mentioned three problems. Education was one of them, and then mental health was the other thing. The third one was probably the world.
Worldliness.
Yeah, worldliness. But amongst the young people, they are. And how do you help ones with, especially on the mental side of things, difficulties? And Brother Lee does mention those three items.
In the Mystery of Human Life, the first page, what did it say?
Huh?
With the problem with the body, you see a doctor.
Yes.
The problem with the mind, you see another type of doctor, right? Okay. Now, there are usually two, three types of mental problems. One is imbalance, chemical imbalance. That gotta have a doctor to give the prescription and trial and error and all that to help them to balance it. Nothing you can do. Now, some other mental problem is actual mental problem. They're crazy inside. Mm. That you cannot help at all. Mm. They some have a tendency to commit suicide. Eventually they will commit suicide. Some have the tendency to beat people up. They will do that. So those mental problems you cannot fix. You can only send them to the doctors. Mm. That's why they are mental hospitals. Okay, then the third type is the self is too strong, too proud, want something that they never get. So they become depressed. That can be fixed by the spirit because it's not a real mental problem. It's a heart problem that can be fixed. But if they are not willing to repent or turn to the Lord about it, you still cannot fix it. So we can only help some people. Brother Lee said this, don't talk don't tell people when they are not ready to hear you. So you only talk to people who are ready to hear you. And then some of these are not easy. So you have to seek professional help. We have no ability to help many of them, but we can help some. You know, if it's only the self, the flesh, or the... As far as fornication is concerned, you have to help them. Except the problem is, many of our young people are not open to us. Because we are too strong with them, or we're not caring enough, or whatever, they're not so open. So it's hard to help them if they're not open. So you have to have developed a good relationship with the young ones. So they like to talk to you. They're happy to talk to you. Then you're in. Then you can say anything if they're happy to talk to you. So this young sister, 15-year-old, she talked to me about with her brother. Her brother is a translator. She talked to me about two major problems. Friends backstab her, you know, backbite, all that. So she got frustrated by that. Another one is about preaching. People reject her gospel. And the third one is about boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay, so she is willing to talk to me about those things. That means she is willing to listen. So I have to explain to her and share with her with the word, with the ideas. Okay, so anyway, some we can help, some we cannot help. That's the problem. One brother, he has a suicidal tendency before he got saved. You know, he said always when he walk around tall buildings, he want to jump off on a roof. So, but he didn't. Then he got saved and came into the church life and shepherded him intensively. But eventually I moved away and to Mexico, and then he committed suicide because nobody was able to help him. Then some brothers said, well, if you were there, then he would not have committed suicide. But I don't know, you know, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Because I have to move on and he has to move on. Well, just see him later in resurrection, right? Or in Hades. Nothing we can do. Life and death is from God. Then another one, he has some mental problem. We didn't know that. But then later, it was more clear that he had that. Then eventually, he abused his wife. And then the judge told them to be divorced. And then eventually, he thinks that he is Jesus Christ. He's traveling around. So what else can you do? I tried to talk to him. He wrote me. I wrote him. But many back and forth. Eventually, still could not help. Then he wrote other co-workers. And so eventually, he says, nothing we can do. We can only help so to a certain extent. So while they're young, while they're open, develop a good relationship.
Amen.
You know, all our children are our future. So every time you come to a meeting hall, you see some children, be nice to them.
Amen.
Respect them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Don't just ignore them. You ignore them long enough, they will run to somebody else. You take care of them, then they stick with you.
That's true.
Yeah, don't respect everyone. I always shake hands with young people, young children.
Amen.
They say, oh. We should be the family, right? Take care of them.
Let the children come to me.
Yeah. If the children don't come to you, you're in trouble. If the children come to you, you are Jesus Christ.
Jesus living.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.